Jaden hasn't emailed me, Elsie announced apropos of nothing, as they strode along through an apple orchard east of the ruins of Concord. The area had once been a park and a housing development, and old street trees and patches of broken asphalt lingered. The branches of the young fruit trees arched over the right-of-way path, a long flowered tunnel droning with bees. Andy frowned. Did you expect him to? He asked, trying to put her comment in context. Yes, no, maybe, she answered. She wouldn't normally have discussed her love life, or lack thereof, with her mentor, but there was just no one else to talk to. It probably doesn't help, but Saul hasn't emailed me, Andy offered. Did you expect him to? No, he had no reason. You're right, that doesn't help. Saul knew you'd survive the collapse, didn't he? Excuse me? When he saw you in the media center, he seemed surprised, but he didn't seem that surprised. It's true he would have seen my name if he's kept up with the literature, Andy acknowledged. We had research interests in common years ago. And he didn't contact you. He let you think he was dead for 20 years. A dangerous, protective anger welled in her voice. People have all sorts of reasons for why they do what they do, Elsie, he told her calmly. I haven't contacted everyone I once knew. She didn't respond, stewing quietly for a few minutes. The sky above the trees darkened with cloud. Thunder pealed nearby, and they looked around for shelter. A farm building, a ruined suburban house, anything, but found none. Everything had been recycled. There's got to be an equipment shed or something around here somewhere, Andy said. They jogged along the path as the air around them darkened to a soupy gray-green. The breeze died ominously. There, cried Elsie, pointing at the trees at what might be a building off to the left. Just then, lightning struck a tree nearby, its thunder exploding with an almost tactile crack. They both shrieked reflexively and ran, frightened but laughing like children, slipping and stumbling under a sudden downpour through high grass, slick and clingy with rain. The building was just a tiny tool shed, fortunately not locked, but filled almost entirely with folded stepladders, pole pruners, and other equipment. There was no clear floor space. They threw their packs in on top of the pile and squeezed themselves in to avoid under the handles of a wheelbarrow. Andy pulled the door shut against the wind. "Did you see that lightning?" he said, out of breath and exultant. "I thought we were toast," she cried. "Ha-ha, soggy toast." It was hard to hear each other over the thunder and the drumming of the rain. So after a bit, they quieted down and just sat together in the close, humid dark. "It sounds like it's easing up," Elsie said at last. "Open the door so we can watch." "Okay." The sky had paled to a roiling gray, but the rain still fell thickly enough to hide all but the two nearest rows of apple trees. Every few minutes, thunder drummed again, more gently now, as the storm center moved gradually off to the northeast. Andy straightened his legs out through the door and let his sneakers get soaked all over again. He wasn't a very big man, but he was bigger than Elsie, and he could not squeeze himself in under half a wheelbarrow for very long. A mist of fine, shredded, rebounding raindrops beaded on his face like sweat. She saw that he watched the storm the same way she did, with intent, rapt wonder. Elsie looked at him and at the sky beyond him, and she had a new thought. Suppose that when he'd said, "I don't usually spend that much time with my friends," he had not meant to contrast her with the set of "my friends," but rather to include her in it. Suppose he'd just been trying to tell her what friend he could be. In which case, she wondered, what kind of friendship did he need from her?